This is a fun gospel story. A guy comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, tell my brother to give me half of my dad's. This story reminds me of the old story about a guy who left all of his money to his lawyer in his will. And his friends asked him, why in the world would you leave all your money to your lawyer? And the guy said, well, I thought I'd save my kids the time. Money, or even the hope or promise of it, can change us. It can divide us. It can lead us to become somebody we are not. There is danger in wealth. There can be a problem with prosperity. Jesus said, watch out for greed. Life is so much more than the abundance of possessions. A blessing can quickly become a curse. The main character in Fiddler on the Roof is named Tevye. He is one of my favorite theologians. He is the father of daughters, by the way. So he talks to God all the time, not just because he's a father of daughters, but he talks to God all the time. And he's a farmer and he has a milk route, and he's struggling. And at one point he asks God, he says to God, God, if wealth is such a curse, couldn't you smite me just a little? But Jesus is not just talking about money alone. He's talking about greed, the desire for more, and perhaps in particular for us Americans, the myth that enough is never enough. And if some is good, more must be better. Now, when we start talking about money or get close to it, we can get a little itchy, a little nervous. So again, remember, this is not just about money. It's actually about who or what will be our God. Martin Luther talked about this a long time ago. He said, wherever we look for security, hope, or salvation, there we will find our God. If you're not sure what that is, look in the ledger of your checkbook or the modern equivalent of that, and you will see wherever we spend the most money, that's probably the most important thing to us. Makes sense, right? In our time, then, money, wealth, and possessions are precisely what we look to for hope and security. But again, this story is not just about money. It's about our attitudes and our values and beliefs of whatever we consider precious. Anything we become overly attached to. Fundamentally, it's a question of whether we will show gratitude, if we will be generous, or if we want to keep what we have for ourselves and end up becoming hoarders. So instead of being generous, we've been taught to live with a myth of scarcity while we are surrounded by abundance. So instead of the things we have bringing us joy, it's easy to substitute fear for joy. No matter how much we have, it's very easy to climb off that edge of we're afraid we're going to lose it. We're afraid there won't be enough. We're afraid it's not going to last. But how much is enough? Now, we know since the Great Recession of 08, there has been a great deal of hoarding in our country. And it makes sense at one level because we've been afraid. Afraid of uncertain future and job market. We keep hearing about the growing disparity of income, afraid we're not going to have enough. Yet we still are often tempted to compare ourselves to those who have more and feel cheated than we are to compare ourselves to those who have less and feeling grateful. Jesus' words for us today are about whatever is precious to us. Now think about what's most precious to you. Your things that are precious are things that are the most limited. Things that are rare, things that can be scarce. For me, it's black raspberry jam. Now I make jam, you probably know that. Black raspberry, strawberry, red raspberry, and grape jelly in the fall. Black raspberry jam is the best thing there is. But it's way more labor-intensive than any of the other jams I make. Each batch has a lot of time into it. Picking berries while being slashed by vines, I refer to that as giving blood. After I pick black raspberries, I look like I've been fighting with an angry cat. Sweat's dripping into my eyes, flies are biting me. And then, of course, they come ripe this time of year. So I bring them inside, and I choose a day like we're going to have next week to make the kitchen really hot and turn it purple. All of that for 3 or 4 pints per batch. Now, most years I'm lucky to get 12 or 14 pints, so I carefully ration them out throughout the year. And while I'm happy to share the other jam I make, nobody gets this. Rarely even my own daughters. I am a hoarder. I hoard black raspberry jam. This year, it's been a bumper crop of black raspberries. I've made over 35 pints of jam. And as I look at them collecting on my shelf, the myth of scarcity in the midst of abundance hangs on tight. Because deep down in my socks, I still think, I got to be careful with it. Can't give it all away. What if it doesn't last? What if there's not enough? What if next year there's a weak crop and I can't make any? 36 pints of jam in my basement. Guess what? I had to make another shelf. Sound like anybody in that story we heard? So part of me felt guilty about keeping all my precious jam and hoarding it. So I began to share it with a few people. And I learned something. I learned there is greater joy in sharing my jam than there is in keeping it for myself. Now, I did not give it all away. I still have plenty. But it was hard because it is so precious. But precisely because it is so precious, it meant more to give it and to those lucky few who received it. And then I got responses like, wow, is this even legal? One person said, this is the best jam I've ever had. I had to hide it from my family. Ah, we see where sin starts, don't we? Huh? It wasn't an apple. It was a black raspberry. Yeah. Now, we don't need to learn selfishness. We don't need to learn how to keep what we have for ourselves. That comes to us pretty naturally. Sharing and being generous is learned behavior. It is something we need to choose to do. But if we are not generous, we might have all of our stuff, but after a point, what good is it? It's kind of like if milk is on sale for $1.50 a gallon, getting 10 gallons. Going to keep that for a month? No. It spoils, then it starts to stink. And then you got a bigger problem. But once we have ours, we want to keep it. Now, we don't build bigger barns, but we build bigger houses or more shelves for my jam. Same thing. Monuments to making it, achieving the American dream. So in our gospel today, Jesus contrasts that, people who arrange to keep their money and stuff for themselves, with people who keep their money and stuff for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Now there's an interesting phrase, rich toward God. What does that mean? Does it mean we should parade our stuff in front of God and say, hey, I made it? No. Do we give it all away? Give it all to God? No. Do we burn up on an altar like they did in Old Testament times and try to give it all to God that way? No. The deal is, God does not want it directly. But God wants us to use what we have to make a difference in this world, to care for the weak and the poor, the hungry and the homeless, victims of violence and those who are abused, addicts and those who want their lives back, the forgotten who are so, so lonely. You know, that's a lot of what we do here. We serve God by serving those in need. Of course, we all know that there are a lot of us who do not go ourselves to Bread of Healing, the Cross, or Serenity, or Hephatha, or Hope Center, or Work with Interfaith, or Sussex Outreach Service. But if you don't go directly, don't feel guilty. That's what our offerings help do. When we can't go ourselves, we make sure somebody else has everything they need to go. So that's why a number of years ago, Chuck told us, one of the guys who cooks at Bread of Healing, whenever we go, 6 or 8 of us go because that's what fits in our car and that's what fits in the kitchen. But he said we don't go alone. said there's about 1,200 of us that go together because we're the body of Christ. And when one of us go, we all go. Rich toward God or rich toward ourselves. Now, sometimes I hear people describe feeling a little guilty because they have so much. If that's you, don't. Don't feel guilty. Do something with it. Choose to make a difference. Choose to be generous. Choose to share what is important and precious to you. Because every time we give our money, we are giving a symbol of ourselves, our lives, our work, our passions, our sacrifice. And when we don't or can't go ourselves, then we send someone who can. And we go with them because we are all connected with each other. The more generous we are, the more lives we get to touch. God does not want us to give away everything we have. But God does want us to share some of what we have, so what we have does not have us. It's no sin to be wealthy. The sin is to be wealthy and keep it all for ourselves. What did the guy in our story today say? I'll store up everything and I'll live on it for years. Eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, you're going to die tonight. Are we grateful for what we have? If we are, then we show gratitude by being generous, by daring to share what we have to make a difference, to bring joy, to save lives, to help others get their lives back. That is what it means to be rich toward God, to show gratitude by being generous.